News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The Israeli military says the compound in Rafah that was struck by missiles yesterday, which resulted in the deaths of at least 35 people, was carried out with precise ammunition and on the basis of precise intelligence. Sean Bell, defence consultant, is with us now. Good morning to you, Sean. Looking at the pictures that have come through from that, it doesn't look very precise to me.
No, good morning to you. It's very hard to see it as precise, having operated in Afghanistan on a precision targeting cell for over a year. You had to, under the law of armed conflict, to stay the right size of international law, you had to take great measures to protect the civilian population. That strike doesn't appear at face value to have done that. 35 dead, and they expect the death toll to rise significantly as a result. But inevitably, we're only seeing the pictures at the moment. Very difficult to make a clear judgment unless you were actually on the ground.
There was a real challenge with this because the Israeli Defence Forces are going to say one thing, our eyes will see something else, that there is a need for independent verification of this, and the IDF must come under strong criticism at this point, one would have to assume.
Well, I think you've got to look at this in context. I mean, Israel's been falling foul of the international community, growing concern at that number of sort of civilian casualties. I think the numbers are over 35,800 dead now, 75,000 injured. And that's why the International Court of Justice told Israel to stop the fighting in Rafah. But they also, one of the other things they did was they said Israel had to allow observers in to be able to have independent observers, where, of course, Israel still hasn't stopped the fighting in Rafah and hasn't stopped those independent observers. And part of that is Netanyahu seems determined to finish the job, take out those last, as he says, four battalions of Hamas fighters there. But what Hamas is doing with their rocket attacks the other day in Tel Aviv is they're showing an act of defiance. They're saying that you may well be going to Rafah, you may well have cleared the rest of Gaza, but actually you haven't killed us off, and we keep popping up all over Gaza and causing you issues.
Is there a reality that the attempt by Hamas to fire rockets into Tel Aviv prompted this attack on Rafah?
I think you can go for tit for tat all the way back well before the 7th of October. I think you have to look at this again in context. We're expecting negotiations to resume next week, probably in Cairo. They've had a bit of a pause. Israel, as we've said, is under huge pressure to stop. But 7 months in, it's evident they haven't defeated Hamas. Hamas want to demonstrate that they're not down and out, that they are ready to negotiate. But the real question here underneath all is the Palestinian question. Hamas has made very clear that once the Palestinian question has been answered, if as a two-state solution, then they will put down their arms overnight. Whereas Netanyahu has made very clear that despite pressure from the international community saying they thought that was the answer as well, it's very clear Israel does not.
Okay. Sean Bell, retired former fighter pilot, current defence consultant, co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you very much for that. Bushra Khalid is the Oxfam OPT country office lead in Jerusalem. Bushra, what information do you have on fatalities and injuries from this attack on Rafah?
Hi, thank you for having me this morning. I have as much updated information as you have because there's no communications right now. I'm unable to get through to anybody in Rafah or in kind of the northern part of Rafah and Al-Mawasi area. I actually have my family that is staying in Al-Mawasi area, which is at the outskirts of where Tal al-Sultan, the attack happened last night. I also cannot get through to our family there. We're all worried. We haven't slept all night. And we have been watching the images of charred babies and beheaded babies, literally. Literal images that I cannot unsee. And I hate to be so graphic, but this is exactly what we have been seeing in the videos. A complete, camp burnt. Because supposedly targeted airstrikes. I'm just not entirely sure how it is targeted and precise when there's already 35 killed. And this is just the bodies that they were able to get to the hospital. This is not the bodies that have been completely charred, burnt. Children were part of this camp and they were sleeping at night and they were born bombed while they're sleeping and they died a really awful death. There are no more words, really.
At this point, is this going to make the humanitarian effort much more difficult? Because
this
organizations
will,
such as yours
collapse.
Will
collapse. Yeah. This is the stuff. This is the type of operations that will collapse the humanitarian effort. There will no be. I mean, you know, it's very likely. UNRWA stopped its relief efforts in Rafah last week after the airstrikes last week. These are types of strikes that, you know, completely impede our ability to deliver and our ability to do our work. I mean, and this is what we've been saying for the last 8 months, is that we're unable to deliver in the way that we want to. We have big aspirations and big ambitions in Gaza, you know, with our teams and our partners, but we're unable to meet them. Like we're barely meeting them because trucks are not even coming in because Rafah is closed and because, you know, Israel has decided to launch this military incursion despite global calls from all world leaders that are, you know, incapable of putting measures, real measures to actually enforce, the ICJ provisional measures, okay, to enforce the United Nations Security Council resolution, to enforce ICC warrants, etc. Like, I mean, you know, we're exhausted, really.
Finally, Bushra, the claim that the IDF have put forward that this was precise ammunition on the basis of precise intelligence. What do you make of that claim?
What I make of is that Gaza has been decimated to rubble. 70% of Gaza has been destroyed. And now the last 30% standing city is about to be decimated, or this is what we're seeing. There are no hospitals working. Every aspect of life has been decimated in Gaza. There's 35,000 dead, almost half of which are children. Is there anything precise about that?
Bushra Khalid, Oxfam in Jerusalem. Thank you very much for joining us on News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.